What's going on, all my podcasters out there? See Jizzle and the fucking Wizzle. I don't know how long this podcast is really going to be, but it's the night before Thanksgiving. Well, it's technically Thanksgiving now. It's 2 in the morning, but I decided I'd go ahead and make a podcast now because tomorrow I'm going to be too busy spending time with my family, and I haven't really made one in a few days. I'm just sitting here at my house, at the studio, and I'm just drinking a few beers and I'm kind of smoking, and I'm like, why not, you know? So, one of the things that I have to say is if you have a hatchet to bury with somebody, now's the time to do it. I mean, I've tried before with my father, and it's been unsuccessful, but that's okay. Even if it's unsuccessful, at least you tried. You can maybe give it another attempt later down the road, or, you know, just have the closure. But, damn, got a frog in my throat. Anywho, I am thankful for the other family that I do have. My nieces, my nephews, my mother that's still alive. Thank God she doesn't have cancer. And, you know, I haven't talked to my father in probably 5 years. And whenever I did talk to him, we never had Thanksgiving really over at his house. It was really kind of weird growing up. Really kind of weird growing up because I had you know, I had 2 Christmases since my parents were divorced, and I have my dad's side of the family and I have my mom's side of the family, but my dad's side of the family didn't talk to him and he didn't talk to them either. So my aunts, my uncles, everybody on my dad's side, I would go to Thanksgiving and Christmas, but my dad was never there. And it has all to do with him holding in grudges for years. For years. I mean, something that somebody had said, or something that, you know, and I'm not going to really get into details about it, but my father was married to a black woman, and I'm pretty sure that there was some kind of racist comment, or he insinuated it as a racist comment, and he took offense to it, and he hasn't talked to the family ever since. Now, why he doesn't talk to the whole family, I don't know. I think it's because nobody really stuck up for him whenever the incident occurred, but my father used to talk about how when he was younger, his siblings used to torture him because he was the youngest and blah, blah, blah. He's always had a thing for hating his siblings. For hating his family. You know, and after my grandfather died and my grandmother died on his side, it just, the family went to shit in a handbasket. And so, I haven't been to that side of the family Thanksgiving or Christmas in about like 3 or 4 years because I've been going through my own shit. And this is going to be the first year that I get to do that. So, not Thanksgiving necessarily, but Christmas, I am going to end up showing my face and talking to my Uncle Russ and whatnot, because he is the oldest of the family. He is getting up there in age, and who knows how long he's going to live. And he's really like the patriarch of the family that's left. You know, he's what everybody looks up to in the family. He's a good guy. He's not an asshole. He always makes you laugh and sends you Christmas cards and shit. And so, it's just really a shame that my father can't swallow his pride and admit when he was wrong. Or, even if you're not wrong, you say, hey, you know, let's just put that shit behind us. Let's move on. My dad's not really like that. And I found that out over the years from myself, obviously. But I have to take it for what it's worth now. You know what I mean? I have to realize that he gave me life and that was about it. Because even whenever I was younger, we didn't have a very good... I didn't have a very good close childhood to my father. You know, like I said, my parents were divorced. My father was never really around. And whenever I was with my father, he wanted to be out doing other things with his girlfriends and shit like that. We never went to a football game together, or a wrestling match, or a baseball game, basketball game, none of that shit. He took me to Hooters one time whenever I was like 12 or 13, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. But other than that, that's terrible. That's a terrible... You know, I know he has to live with that every day. Whenever me and him got close to stop talking, that's what I told him. I said, dude, we haven't done shit together. We haven't fished together. We haven't went out and done nothing. We haven't taken a road trip together, just father and son. Never. And that's just, that's something that if I was a father and I had a kid, I would never treat my kid the way that my father treated me. He used to beat me and shit with a metal fireplace scooper, you know, with a short handle on it. I used to call that old Smokey, but not only that, but with the punishment and everything, but just not taking advantage of what you have, taking life for granted. And you know, there's fathers out there that will never get to see their kids again because they just got murdered or they're in prison. You know, that never get to see their kids, never get to have a birthday or a cookout or whatever. And it's just really mind-boggling to me, somebody who has that opportunity that doesn't take advantage of it. Now, I talked about in my past episodes about how my father tried to kill me at my sister's wedding a long time ago. Well, 4 or 5 years ago, and I've tried to make amends with him 2 times. I've tried to bury the hatchet, and he just doesn't want to. He wants to just tell me how I was the one that did stuff wrong and blah blah blah, when at the end of the day, he didn't go home with injuries. I did, and there's a whole nother story to that, you know. I don't feel like really getting into it right now, but that's why me and my father don't talk. And who, you know, I don't know who he is anymore. I haven't seen him in 5 years. And after 5 years of not talking to somebody, you forget what they look like, you forget what they sound like, you forget what their habits are. You pretty much forget who they are as a person. Like, if me and my dad could work things out, let's just say, and he says, let's go out to lunch or dinner or something, I wouldn't know what the fuck to say to him. That's just how far away, how far apart we are. And it's great. I mean, there's always room for progress. There's always, you know, we could go out to lunch and dinner and just talk about things, you know, what he likes, what he's been doing lately, and kind of catch up on things, but that's going to take a while. And even then, I'm not going to be able to trust him. If I had kids right now, and me and him were talking and trying to work things out, I don't think that I could trust him with my kids, to be honest. If somebody who would try to murder his only son, I don't think I could put my kids in his hands. I don't know. And so it's a very, you know, it could work out. There's a possibility later down the road that it could work out. And maybe it will. But for right now, me and my father will never see eye to eye. And it's all because he can't swallow his pride. And I've kind of come to terms with that and everything. So, but it's a whole conundrum and it's a whole spin of webs when you get to talking about him, the family, his side of the family that I have to go see. And, you know, it would be really great for Thanksgiving 1 year to be able to have Thanksgiving with my whole family. My whole family. My dad, my uncles, my fucking sisters, my nephews, everybody. Not just, oh, you go over to such and such's house, and maybe you go over to somebody else's house in your family, but 3/4 of the other family are left out. I want to have a fucking massive feast, a massive gathering with the whole fucking family. And I want to get a fucking picture of it before it's too late. You know, I want everybody to have a picture together, even people that would never usually be there, like my mother, for example. And I want to have a picture with everybody in it. A new updated picture. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird, but kind of my own little plan. You know, I think about my childhood a lot, and I think about my father and I not talking anymore. And I think about how life could be if I was rich, or if I was born rich, or if I was in a different family or a different life. And I think 90% of the time that I wouldn't change it, because it's made me who I am. And if I was born rich, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't know what it's like to starve or eat peanut butter sandwiches for dinner or to eat spaghetti with no pasta sauce, you know. When you have to make your own pasta sauce out of tomato soup, things get really real. You know, that's like some ghetto ass shit to make spaghetti sauce out of tomato soup. It's very hard to do and it's very ghetto. So, I wouldn't know what it's like to go to the store with $5 in my pocket trying to find something to eat for the night. That's what I used to do. I mean, I still kind of do that to this day. You know, even to this day, even though I have money to buy groceries, even to this day, I'll go to the store and I'll say, let's see what we can buy for the cheapest amount. Let's see if we can get out of here spending $10 or less. And I like that challenge. Keeps me fresh on my feet. It reminds me of the old days, you know, and it keeps me smart about my money. So, people that go into the grocery stores, especially if you don't have a list, you're gonna get fucked. You're going to end up spending so much money on shit that you don't even need. But if you go in there with a plan, I'm not going to spend more than $10. You know, shredded cabbage, shredded coleslaw mix is like $1 or $2 for a whole bag. And I love making salads out of shredded cabbage. It's got more nutrients than lettuce. It's cheaper than lettuce. I don't know. That's the only way that I really eat cabbage, but I may not, I would not be see Jizzle and the Wizzle, probably, if I lived a different life, if I was a different person. I might be in a different state, married with kids, living a completely different life. So, I look back and I say, man, this life is shit. And it might be for right now. But I wouldn't change it. It's made me who I am, and I really kind of embrace what I've been given so far. And what's going to happen in the next 20 years or 40 years, who knows? But the whole point and the whole purpose of me living in life is to make people happy, to make a difference, to educate people, and to live a decent life. I mean, that's basically, for right now, that's the only thing that I can do. So, that makes me, you know, a positive addition to society, I guess you could say. And it also keeps me level-headed and sane. So, it all helps. I think there's a lot more that I could talk about with morals and how things should go. And I'll probably get into that next episode. I don't know, I gotta think a little bit more. So, but for right now, my boss got into a car accident. And at first, I kind of chuckled about it, and, you know, it kind of brought me joy and kind of made me feel good. Because karma's a bitch. It'll sneak up on you when you least expect it. When you're a dirty, nasty person to people, karma will sneak up behind you and get you from behind. And so that's why it made me chuckle, because I knew she deserved it. But even though I know she deserved it, a part of me said, she doesn't deserve that. You know, you should never really wish harm on people or laugh about it or... you know, I gotta catch myself sometimes. It's like, hey man, you're being a little bit too evil, you know. You're going a little bit crazy, you're going a little off your rocker here. And I gotta kind of readjust myself sometimes. But she got into a car accident and she had to get 20 staples in her head. And so I've been picking up more slack than what I should, because I don't owe her anything, and she's been terrible to me, and she's been cutting my hours and everything else. And so I work today from 11 o'clock all the way to 9 o'clock at night. That's a 10-hour shift. That's a pretty good shift. And I was supposed to be there, supposedly, from 8 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night. Which was a terrible scheduling mistake, let's just say that, because supposedly we didn't have any school lunch pizza bullshit that takes... That's usually why the general manager is scheduled at 8 o'clock, because we open at 11. But since there was no school lunch today, let's just say, I would have been sitting there from 8 o'clock until 11, twiddling my diddle. And so, I chose to go in at 11. Well, long story short, I didn't choose. I was told to go in at 11 because somebody else was going to be there, which they weren't. So then I get a phone call from my boss, like, hey, weren't you supposed to be in at 8 o'clock? I said, no, I'm supposed to be in at 11. Either way, like I said, I'm glad that I went in when I did and when I left when I did. So, because the store closed at 10, I left at 9. I made sure I got as much shit that I could get done and told the delivery drivers to do the rest. And I made sure that Gabby was in a pretty good position before I left. And so I don't have to worry about anything on Friday anyways. That's Kyle's problem. Kyle didn't want to come in and help tonight, so that's his problem. Come Friday evening, I'm going to be there. But anywho, with this Gabby chick from the other store, I really enjoyed working with her. You know, I can't really say that usually about different managers from other stores. You know, it was a real shock to me on how easy it was to work with her. And even though she's got her opinions, or she probably thinks this or that about certain people, she keeps it to herself. She might go outside and vent or talk to certain people, like her friends, but she keeps it to herself. And I like that, because you keep it professional whenever you're a manager. You don't just come out and be an asshole and say, "Hey, I think you're being a pussy right now." You know? So there's a way to talk to people and handle things when you're a manager. And I think it's not being two-faced for you to be able to go outside and vent and then be able to come back inside and put on a different face and get shit done. I think that's all part of the game. So, I'm not really sure what Gabby thinks of me, but I'm pretty sure she thinks that I'm a good worker. And I like working with Gabby. So, she's very vocal. She's pretty attractive, I'm not gonna lie. But attractiveness doesn't really help when you gotta get work done. So, but she's really vocal about everything. She's really good about training you about shit. There's certain things today that I didn't know how to do that I've never even heard about that she trained me for. And am I going to remember all of it? Probably not. But that's what I want to be around, is people that can train me good. Kat, the person that I have as my manager, is never going to do that because, first of all, she doesn't think she has a need to, because that's her job. And if somebody knows as much as she does, then she might have to worry about somebody else taking her job. So that's why she doesn't train people to do certain things like that, even though they need to know how to do it. Like, I don't even know how to look up a dough prep list for the next day. So, you know, I would like to work with Gabby some more, have her kind of train me a little bit more. And I don't want to tell Kat that, because that would kind of make her feel like shit, and there'd be kind of like a whole dilemma on why I want to be trained by her. But in order to be the best, you gotta learn from the best. And Gabby is 10 times more of a better manager than Kat will ever be. I'm just going to say that. And I don't know. I don't want to go and work for Gabby's store because it's 3 times busier. They've got 5 drivers. They've got 3 managers. They've got 2 CSRs. They've got way more mini workers than what we have at our store. They have like twice as many. I can't handle that. So, as much as I like Gabby, though, so far, I mean, I've only worked with her once, really. I've seen her come into the store before, but never really worked with her. So far, I like her, but in the same sense, in such those beautiful eyes that she has, she looks like a snake. She looks like a snake. She just, you know, her eyes, you can get caught in. You can just, you know, and it just seems like tonight you know, she told me, you know, after I clocked out and everything, we both went outside and we were smoking, and she was talking to her assistant manager from another store that had come over. And she was like talking shit about people, pretty much. She was talking about Aiden, about how he's annoying and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Aiden can be annoying, but that's just Aiden. You know, you gotta work with him more and understand his humor more. And he becomes less annoying once you understand his humor. And, you know, he can be annoying at first, you know. He's a young kid, he's full of energy, I like him. So, then she also got to talking about how some other conditions of the store, and she said, don't you go tell him the manager, but, and I feel like that's her way of testing me to see if I'm going to go back and tell Kat. Because she knows if I go back and tell Kat that she's not going to be able to trust me with any more gossip in the future. So, and I think about that shit. I think about, you know, office politics whenever it comes to holding a job. It's not just how good of a hard worker you are, it's about office politics. And especially if you're a shift leader or you're a manager, it all comes into hand. It's like, you kiss my ass, and you listen to what I have to say, and you don't go and tell them what I have to say, or else. Sometimes. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. Now, if you're somebody that's going to go back and gossip and tell people shit, they're just going to deny it and say, oh, you're spreading rumors, and you're the problem, and blah, blah, blah. So, sit back like a fly on the wall and I listen to shit from this person or from that person's point of view, and I'm expected to keep it as a secret a lot of times, not just with this job but with past jobs before. And I like being a fly on the wall because it means that I know more than you know. I know more than you know, I just haven't told you. So, you think you know everything that's going on in this store, but I know more than you know. It's like anything that I can soak up as a sponge with my mind, I love it. Whether it's information, whether it's with gossip with the coworkers, or whether it's learning on how to do something better with my job, I love it. I just soak it up. So, me and Gabby seem like we have a pretty good relationship, work-wise. She and I know how to get shit done. We know how to communicate together. And it was, you know, only her with three delivery drivers. And, you know, I was only scheduled there until 7:30. I decided to stay till 8. And then I got so wrapped up in helping her with, you know, pizzas coming out of the oven and everything, getting everything straightened away, that I didn't get out of there until 9. But that's okay. That's okay. I had a 10-hour day. I actually enjoyed working with her, so it's all right. But if it was me stuck there with Kat, I wouldn't have stayed as late. I wouldn't have enjoyed working with her. And that's just the truth. You know, every day I go to work, I dread going to work because of Kat. Because of her nagging and her bitching. If I had a manager like Gabby, you know, She doesn't nag and bitch and fucking... She's got a smooth way to her, you know? I don't know how to explain it. But... I don't know. Today went smooth, even though we were dealt a hand of fucked up cards. And so, I want to be able to make a lasting impression on Gabby. Because, in the future, if there's ever any hours that I can get from her store, if my store cuts my hours, for example, and I can get hours from her, then it will be just like, it'll be the even amount of distance for me to get to that store than to this store. Because it's like going over to my mom's house. You know, that Pizza Hut is like right over by where my mom lives. So it's not a very... You know, I go over there all the time. It's not a very far trip. A 30 minute bike ride is about all I'm willing to travel. Let's just say that. And when it's wintertime outside... And the wind chill is like negative 20. And you got a chance of frostbite in like 20 or 30 minutes. That's why I like to keep my distance down to about 30 minutes or less. No matter where I work. So when I apply for jobs, you know, and they're all the way the fuck out on the west side. I'm like, no thank you. No thanks. Because I already know. First of all... Even in the spring, summer, fall, it's a pain in the ass to ride more than 2.5 miles there and 2.5 miles back every day. It's a pain in the ass. You know, with traffic and everything, there's some days where it takes me, well, when I had my good bike, it was like 20 minutes. Here lately, it's been 30, sometimes 40 minutes. So, the bike makes every bit of difference. It really does. I've been trying to get a lighter bike, something a little bit more worth the money, I guess. I don't know. They've got a bike that's $400 right now for a Giant, and... You know, I'm not really sure if it's worth the money because I'm sure it weighs just as much as this bike. I think it's probably made out of steel or heavy aluminum. And with the Cannondales that I've had in the past, they've all been light. I mean, even my trail bike that I had, the 29-inch trail bike, was light as fuck. I mean... It was still heavy, but for as big as it was. I've got a 1984 Cannondale, a vintage. It's got 700cc tires on it. One of the lightest bikes I've ever put my hands on. But I can't ride it, you know, in the wintertime. I asked my bike mechanic if I could get bigger tires put on it instead of having the really thin tires put on the road bike. Maybe I can get some of those hybrid tires that are 700cc's. And he said, no, you can't do that because your bike frame only has like an inch clearance. So you have 0.5 clearance on one side and 0.5 inch of clearance on the other side. And I said, that's fucking crazy. There is no other tire that you can put on that bike without it rubbing the frame. It's got to be a 27.5 inch. I think that is what it is. I don't know. it's as close to a 700cc tire that you can get. I know that. And with those bikes, like I said, 1984s, good luck finding the right parts for it. Especially when it comes down to the shifter kits and shit, the derailleurs and all that. 9 times out of 10, you gotta go aftermarket and get a Dior kit. So, that's probably what I'm gonna do. But for right now, I need to worry about getting a lighter bike. I don't know. This one that I've got is from Walmart, and I spent like $250 on it, and it's a good, solid bike. I'm not gonna lie. It's only got 7 gears on it, or 8 gears. In the back, it doesn't have any front gears. So normally people have like a 21 speed where you got 3 gears in the front and then the rest are in the back. This just has one set of gears on the back, and it's more dependable, more reliable. But I have a feeling that it's going to have its problems whenever it comes down to wintertime, because it's all Chinese made. Shimano and the gear sets and everything is Chinese made. And 9 times out of 10, you get the cheap Shimano's. It comes with the plastic pulleys and wheels in it and shit. It's got springs in it. Even the front face plate is plastic. But if you get like Dior, D-E-O-R-E, Dior, it usually comes with a metal housing. The brackets are metal. Everything's metal. And I'm pretty sure they use metal cog teeth in the pulleys and shit. Either way, I'm not gonna put more money into a Walmart bike, so I'm gonna end up probably getting a Giant, or I don't even know. I mean, I could save up to get an electric bike, but that's like $2,000. And if the electric motor sits out on it, then you're just going to have a piece of shit bike. And there's nobody around here that can work on electric bikes, really, to that magnitude. So hopefully you would have to have it under warranty, ship it back in, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to dependability, reliability, good old-fashioned fucking Cannondales work the best. I'm telling you. They've got Treks, and they've got Giants, and they've got, you know, GTs and all this other shit. Now, I've never owned a GT, but I've heard nothing but good things about GTs. The only bad thing that I've heard about them is a lot of their frames have air suspension on the rear part of the frame. That's terrible. Any bike that has air suspension, don't buy it. Especially if it's on the rear shock, don't buy it. It's gonna go bad. The rear shock's gonna go out. You're gonna have to spend fucking $400 on a new one. Just don't buy it. Like, every bike that I've ever owned is a hardtail. It doesn't have any rear shocks. It might have front suspension, but it doesn't have any rear shocks. On this new one that I got, on the 29-inch Cannondale that I had, And on the 1984 Cannondale, they're all hardtail frames. So there's no need for it. There's no need for it. A lot of people say, oh, it's to make a more comfortable, cushy ride. Well, that's what a seat is for. So I've ridden 3 hours before on that Cannondale, that 29-inch, for 3 hours. And I only took 3 10-minute breaks. And so, you know, being hunched over and pedaling for 3 hours is pretty fucking, it's pretty tough. You know, I hear about people that are doing, you know, instead of 30 miles, they're doing 60-mile rides and shit. And I'm like, I couldn't even imagine. I really couldn't, because after an hour and a half of pedaling, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? Halfway through, you're like, what the fuck? So, 6 hours of pedaling would be just completely exhausting. Completely exhausting. I mean, whenever I pedaled for 3 hours, I stayed somewhere at a friend's house for a couple days. I stayed a weekend, and then I got back on the road and I pedaled back home another 3 hours. And I'm not going to tell you how bad my ass cheeks hurt. My legs, my ass, my back, like my whole body was sore. Just from fucking riding that bike for 3 hours. And a lot of bike enthusiasts out there will be like, 3 hours isn't that fucking much. That's crazy. You gotta be a real bad motherfucker. And I'm telling you, I am a bike enthusiast. I ride my bike everywhere I go. If you can pedal more than 3 hours, you're a fucking bad motherfucker. I'm telling you. And it's not just endurance with, you know, breathing. Especially on those cold, brisk rides in the wintertime. But it's the legs. After you get an hour and a half in, your legs start cramping up. Your ass cheeks start hurting. Your backbone starts feeling like it's compressed. And you gotta fucking pull over and take a break, you know? You have to. The pain is just so excruciating. So for people to sit, and I don't care what kind of seat you got, but when you're hunched over for that long, it's not gonna matter. So people that are doing these 6 hour long treks and shit on, they're just hurting themselves, really. There's no way that that's healthy for you. Honestly. It's like getting on a treadmill and running too long. Your muscles are going to deteriorate, they're going to break down. Or if you lift weights and you lift more than too much, you're going to end up tearing muscle. And tearing muscle versus building muscle is completely different. Man, I can, you know, I can't even sit here and tell you what it feels like to pedal a bike for 3 hours. No matter what gear you have it in, even if you have it in a steady gear where you're like in fourth or fifth. So fucking terrible. And you're covering more ground when you have a 29-inch. Rules of physics, laws of physics, says you're going to cover more ground in a bicycle that has a 29-inch rim versus a 26-inch rim, or whatever. And it didn't feel like that, you know. I had these big-ass fucking wagon wheels, these 29-inch wagon wheels that I had to pedal. And physically, I might have been covering more ground, but I was also, man, it was just so, and you know, one of the trips was in the dead of summer. I went to a city that was 30 miles away. I'm not going to mention the name. And then, that was terrible. It was hot. It was fucking miserable. I almost wanted to throw up a few times because I was dehydrated. And then there was a time whenever I went in the other direction to another town, to another friend's house about 30 miles away, same distance, just in a different direction. And it was freezing cold, it was winter time, and it was across these open fields that were, you know, the wind was blowing 20 or 30 miles an hour. Negative 10 degree wind chill or more, and I had a piece of shit bike back then. And the ice was building up on my tires. I had to get off, kick the ice off. And back then, they didn't have any plows that were going down old country roads and old farm roads. It was a death trip, honestly. I mean, if it would have snowed more and, you know, I could have got caught. I could have got stuck 15 miles in between each town, and it would have been really deadly. That's something you got to kind of think about, you know, when you're riding a bike 30 miles away. You can get stuck 15 miles there or 15 miles back. Once you're halfway there, you might as well keep going. You know, I mean, getting up, getting stranded, or you're going to just have to go all the way back. And pretty crazy times. Pretty crazy. I can remember. Would I ever do it again? Probably not. I mean, my knees, my body and everything, I probably couldn't handle it again. I've done it twice, and that's enough for me. So, all these people that are saying they're doing 60-mile treks or anything, more than 30 miles is just crazy. Even 10 miles a day is a lot. It's a lot. For the average person, that's a lot. I ride 5 miles a day. And it takes me 20, 30 minutes to get to and 20, 30 minutes to get from. So, that's about all you need. You know, enough to get your blood pumping, get you off the couch. And if you do that shit every day, or 5 times a week, then you're a lot better than the next motherfucker that just gets in his car and goes to work. So, that might be the reason why I'm still alive. Is because I'm lazy, but I'm not that lazy. You know what I'm saying? I still enjoy my time off. I still sit around and do nothing, but at the same time, 5 days out of the week, whenever I gotta go to work and shit, or whenever I gotta go to the grocery store, or go to see my mom, or whatever, I've got to get my ass on that bike and ride. So, a lot of people ask me, why haven't you got a car yet? And I tell them, because I can't afford the insurance, the gas, and why get a car if I can get to work in 20 minutes on a bike? That's free, you know? Same thing with the grocery stores and shit. I mean, it would be nice to have a car to go to the grocery store, but I've been riding a bike for the past 8 years probably, and getting along just fine. So, coming up a little bit further into next year, or halfway through next year, I'm going to be looking towards buying a van, like I've been talking about, and getting my license back, so on and so forth. It's been really hard to put back any money lately. I've been getting my hours cut and everything, so we're going to see how that goes. But hell and high water, I'm going to try to get out of here by next summer. Late next summer. That's what I'm going to say. If I can't, I'm probably going to hold off until next year, because there's no way that I can build out a van in the middle of winter. There's just no way. And do I think I'm going to have enough money for the whole van build come next summer? I don't really think so, because you gotta buy the van, you gotta buy the materials, you gotta buy the tools, and you have to buy a power system, like a Jackery or whatever, to be able to do everything, to be able to live off of. And that's a lot of money. That's like $2,000 or more. So you got like $4,000 probably for a van, $2,000 or more for the electric system. And then you got all the other shit. $2,000 for the building supplies. It all adds up. And do I think I'm going to have $10,000 by next summer? I don't really think so. So what I'm thinking is, I might have to find a way to get into a van and just adapt along the way. If I can get the floors and the walls put in, then I can just build it along the way, just to get through the winter. And then after, you know, winter goes around, then I can start building it out again for next season. I don't know. I've heard a lot of people that started living in vans where all they had was a sleeping bag. You know, they weren't even sleeping up off the floor. So, and I'm 90% sure that whenever I do start this van build, with it being as cold as it is here, that there's going to be condensation. Unless I get a diesel heater system and I keep that motherfucker running 24 hours a day. That's a possibility, but I don't want to have to deal with running fuel lines, and I don't want to have to deal with buying diesel fuel, because diesel fuel is pretty fucking expensive where I live. But I also don't want to be going around trying to find propane tanks everywhere either. And whenever it's cold as fuck outside, negative 10 degrees and shit, kerosene will ignite, and propane tanks will not. So, kind of starting to think about that too. I had thought, you know, before that I can just get away with a propane heater, or maybe a wood stove or something, but I'm starting to think that a kerosene heater is really where it's at for cold climates. So, I don't know, we're going to kind of have to research that some more, kind of think about it. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to get on here and make a podcast and tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving. And even if you've got grudges or whatever towards family members, bury that fucking shit. Bury it. Get rid of it. Just throw it out the fucking window. Act like it never existed. Go to your family members and tell them, I know shit happened. I'm sorry. Let's put this in the past. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. So, this is the times to make amends. This is the time to tell people that you're sorry, even if it wasn't your fault, okay? Just put the shit behind you. It's not worth sitting here and worrying over and losing relationships over. It's not worth it, I'm telling you. Unless they tried to kill you or rape you or anything, it's not worth losing that relationship. So, family is family, whether it's your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your dad, who cares? There's a lot of people out there that can't say Happy Thanksgiving to their family. There's a lot of people that are dead. There's a lot of people that are in prison that can't have a Happy Thanksgiving. So take advantage of this. Swallow your pride. And kind of make this your New Year's resolution. You know, fuck wait until New Year's. You know, just do it now. Do it now at Thanksgiving time. Make your resolution now, and then you can have a good Christmas, and have a good New Year's, and have a good rest of the year, you know? Like I said, even if it wasn't your fault, swallow your pride, and offer forgiveness. If they don't want it, if they don't want your forgiveness, then fuck them. Move on. It'll be a happier Thanksgiving with one less person. So, don't let things eat too much at you, and don't let things worry you and stress you out so much. That's why people die so early. It's from stress. Stress is the number one killer. So, relax, smoke some weed, eat some food, and I want to wish a Happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's listening, whether you live in America, or whether you live in Africa, whether you're Christian or Muslim, I don't care. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast where it is, because we're at 59 minutes, so till the next one. I might make one probably tomorrow evening, but until then, it was real, it was fun, but it wasn't real fun. Deuces.